Today I'm going to talk about change, but I'm going to talk about brain change. Because studies have shown that we actually can change our brains. The Dalai Lama said, "Permanent happiness can only be achieved through training of the mind." Permanent happiness can only be achieved through training of the mind. And can we train our minds? I mean, we know about our bodies. Some people are physical trainers, or they have a physical trainer, and we know that through exercise, repetition of lifting weights, we know that we can change our bodies and make our bodies healthier. And then we know we train for things, like some people train for a marathon or train for a job. I am going to an interfaith seminary, and so I'm training for that. And every time I have an opportunity to speak, like today, I'm in training. I'm getting more confident and better at what I do. So we know we can train for jobs and we can train our bodies physically, but how can we train our brains so that they can be healthier? I guess before we get started, we should have kind of a, make sure everybody has kind of a working, very elementary knowledge of the brain and its structure. You know that there are two halves to the brain. There's the left hemisphere and the right hemisphere. And the left side kind of dictates all the specifics. So it's more about the details, where the right side is more about the whole or the collective. So the left brain would say things like, "I really need to concern myself with me and my family." Where the right brain is more thinking about the good of all. So we look at the left brain being kind of like the math and the science brain, and the right side being more like the art and the music side of the brain. We could probably say the same about religion. Probably organized religion maybe would be a very left brain thing that would say, this is the specifics of our religion, and if you don't follow this, you will not be saved. Where the right brain would say, we're the Life Enrichment Center, we're interfaith, we believe that there are many paths and they all lead to the one truth. It's all about whatever you believe, that's fine if it brings you peace. The book that I've been reading for my interfaith school is by a New Thought writer whose name is James Olson. And the book is called The Whole Brain Path to Peace. And his whole thesis is, if you use your whole brain, that's going to be your path to peace. And in his book, he puts politics in it. I don't really like to talk about politics, but he says that it would be more that the left brain is more Republican and the right brain is more Democrat in our world today. Meaning that many people who vote Republican are about the specifics, about how is this going to affect me, my money portfolio, and my family. Where people who vote Democrat are more about how is this going to affect the collective. How can we best benefit all? Now, James Olson isn't saying one's better than the other, and I'm not saying that the left brain and the right brain, one is better than the other, because they're not. We need both of them. I mean, the brain has been beautifully designed that both halves are important, and we need both. So I kind of think an example would be like if you're going on a hike. A left brain person would be more about, boy, this is really burning my calves, and look at how much I'm sweating and how much weight I'm losing, and you know, it's all about what it's doing for me. Where a right brain person would go on a hike and would be looking at like all the beauty all around, how connected that they feel to the trees and the mountains and the air and looking out at the beautiful sky. All right? Now, that sounds great, but you know, if you're just totally right brain and you're hiking and you're just focused on the sky all around you, you're probably going to trip and fall. You're not going to be really paying attention. So you do need both. I mean, we need to have them working together. And it's the same thing with our political system. That's how it's been designed. Unfortunately, what we're seeing is that those sides aren't really working together like they should. So we need to figure out how can we train our brains so that they're balanced, so that we're in harmony. And I think that we can do that through, well, let's put it this way. None of this is really our fault, the fact that we're imbalanced. Because it's kind of how we've been raised in our culture and even in our schooling. I used to be a high school teacher. And when I talked to students, I would say, you know, what do you want out of your education? And they would say, well, you know, I want to do really well in high school because I want to get into a really good college. And I would say, okay, well, what do you mean by really good college? Well, I want to get into a really good college that's going to get me the best job. And I would say, well, what's the best job? Well, the best job is the one that's going to make me the most money so that I can have this really nice lifestyle for me and my family. And that has been encouraged. My parents reinforced that in me. My parents are immigrants, so they really enforced that in me. And most of us, that's part of our society, that we are kind of more left-brain focused. So we are imbalanced, and we need to be more imbalance and harmonious if we're going to be at peace. So we need to find out exactly how to do that. Now, the left brain and right brain are two halves, but they have a bridge in between them. This bridge, the Latin term, the technical term, is called the corpus callosum. But scientists have known for many years now that the corpus callosum is more prominent in females than it is in males. That females are better in bridging these two halves than males are. And I see that when I go especially to places like the Life Enrichment Center or to New Thought Churches, you see mostly females. You see females more in the congregation and in the leadership. There's more of that understanding of being balanced. And just in recent years, studies have shown that gay men have a more prominent corpus callosum than straight men. I wrote a book a couple of years ago called Gay as a Gift, where I kind of give that hypothesis of how gay people throughout history and in different cultures, like there are Native American tribes that talk about the gay person in the tribe is the spiritual leader. He's called the two-spirit because he has this balance of the two sides. So we really, all of us, want to get to that balance. How do we actually go about doing that? Some of you may be familiar with a woman whose name is Jill Bolt Taylor. She's been on Oprah. That's how I first got to know her. And she is a brain scientist. And she had a stroke when she was 37 years old. And she wrote a book called My Stroke of Insight. And this is what it says on the back of the book. I think it just explains it perfectly. It says, having lost the categorizing, organizing, and judging skills of her left brain when she had her stroke, Jill's consciousness shifted away from her ego center in the absence of her left brain's neural circuitry, her consciousness shifted into the present moment, whereby she experienced herself at one with the universe. And Jill helps those of us with normal brains to better understand how we can tend the garden of our minds and activate our deep peace circuitry. So it's really kind of fascinating how she was this brain scientist, and scientists pretty much for the most part are very left brain. And when she had this stroke and her left brain was no longer functioning or the circuitry wasn't functioning correctly, she shifted and she got it and she understood this peacefulness and this oneness. And now that's what she does, is she goes about teaching people about balance and harmony and how to find that peace. And when she was recovering and in the hospital, she put a sign up outside of her door of her hospital room that says, "Please take responsibility for the energy you bring into this place." And Oprah liked that so much that Oprah had that sign made, and she has it outside of her office. Please be responsible for the energy you bring into this place. So if we can find the place of peace, when we balance our brain and we can get peaceful, we're going to bring that energy into where we are, and we can affect the world. So when you find peace within yourself, the rest of the world is going to be more peaceful because of you. And being an interfaith student, I have found quotes from different spiritual teachers of different backgrounds. For example, there's a contemporary Buddhist monk whose name is Thich Nhat Hanh. Some of you may be familiar with him. He said that this is your most important task. And I like him so much. His writing really resonates with me. So when I heard this quote that he said, "This is your most important task in life," he said, "Your most important task is to find peace within yourself and then teach others how to achieve that peace. That's your most important task." There is a Hindu monk whose name was Swami Amar Jyoti, and he said, "When you have made peace with your mind, you have made peace with the whole world." And you know, from science of mind, I'm sure many of you know, there's spiritual mind treatment. I actually even like that term, spiritual mind treatment. We can treat our minds. If we can radiate peace, others will see it, they'll want it, and they'll move towards it. So we are the peace holders, the light workers, and people will be drawn to that. That quote I read from the Dalai Lama continues, and it says, "The systematic training of the mind is accomplished by deliberately selecting and focusing on positive mental states and challenging the negative mental states." That's what the Dalai Lama says. We can train our brain when we deliberately select and focus on the positive and get rid of the negative thoughts. And I love that he says deliberately, because I love that word, deliberately. In Latin, de means of, and we know the word liberate. So when you do something deliberately, that's freedom. If I deliberately choose those positive thoughts, I do it on purpose. You know, we're here on purpose for a purpose. When I do that deliberately, I'm free. I'm at peace, choosing positive thoughts. So one way we know we can train our brain, and I know many of you do them, are affirmations. When you're training your body and you're lifting weights, they call it doing reps, okay, repetition. Affirmations are our repetition. So when you find yourself not at peace, you're not thinking correctly. You're out of balance. To bring yourself back into balance are those positive affirmations of truth that you know and believe and state when you're here on Sunday, but you want to put it into your daily life over and over again. Some people put post-its on their mirror in their bathroom so they can always see it. It's always a reminder to them. Some people wear a bracelet or some jewelry or something that when they see it, it reminds them to go to that positive place. Another way we know how to train our brains is through meditation. And I know that we have people in this room who are meditators and have been meditating for many years. If you don't meditate, I really want to encourage you to try to find the practice that works best for you. There's no one right way to do it. And I think that's kind of why some people get a little frustrated with it, is they kind of think, well, this is how I'm supposed to be doing it, and it's not really working for me. And some people say to me, you know, I tried to meditate, But I still can control my thoughts. Like, I still, my mind is still going. So obviously, this isn't for me. I've been meditating for a number of years now, and I still get thoughts in meditation, but those gaps between my thoughts get bigger and bigger and bigger the more I do it. So it's that time in between the thoughts that I can see is working. Like a person who's training can say, oh, I can see my muscles are getting bigger. I know that through deliberately practicing meditation, I know that I'm getting more peaceful. But please, if you're not a meditator and you think you can't do it, find what works best for you. For some people, they just like being outside, and a walk around nature every single day brings them to a meditative state. I have a friend, Kathy, who goes on bike rides. And she said when she's there, she gets so in the zone and she's so peaceful. So you'll find the one that's right for you. When I was talking about the Buddhists and the Hindus, science of mind, we know also Jesus said that the kingdom of heaven was within. So we need to go within to find heaven, peace. The Native Americans talk about the four directions, east, west, north, south. And I love how that forms a cross. They talk about how east and west are kind of like our earthly life. And the north and the south represent our spirituality. So we have our personality and our spirituality. And where they connect is the present moment. So if you're looking at the east and west line, if your thoughts are on what happened yesterday, then you're not connected with the spirituality. You're over here. And if you're thinking about the future, if you're worried about what's going to happen, you're over here, you're not here. So that's why it's been for thousands of years, but we hear it more in our contemporary world from writers like Eckhart Tolle, who speak to our contemporary culture about the power of now, being in the present moment. That brings us peace. So that's another way to kind of deliberately train your brain, is when you're not feeling at peace, you're out of balance. Think, I must not be in the present moment. I must not be in the power of now. I'm probably worrying about something that I did yesterday or that I said or some grudge I'm still holding on to. Or I'm anxious or worried about something that's going to happen in the future. So bring yourself back to the present moment is a great way to train your brain. Buddha was very much like Jesus in the sense that in his lifetime, people saw the peacefulness in this man, and they were curious as to, who are you? We know Jesus was, people ask, who are you? Are you God? Are you a prophet? What are you? Because you're so different from most of us. And Buddha got those same questions. Who are you? Are you a prophet? Are you God? And Buddha's answer to that question was, I'm awake. That was his answer. I'm awake. Meaning, I am awake. I'm aware of what's going on. I'm aware of what's happening in my mind. And I know the way to find enlightenment. I know how to do it because I've done it for myself. Jesus said the same thing. I know the way. Come follow me. I know it. They weren't saying it like, well, we're really special, and only we found the way, and you'll never know it. We know it, though. Because, I mean, what would be the point of that? They were saying, we got it. It's brought us so much peace, and we want to show you how to do it, and you can do it. You know, there's a, especially in the New Thought Church, I'm sure you're aware of, you know, writers like Louise Hay and Wayne Dyer, and they are part of Hay House Publishing, and Hay House Publishing does these weekends. They're on a cruise ship or in different places. Maybe some of you have gone on them, and they're called You Can Do It! Exclamation point. And I like that. I think that's what Buddha and Jesus and all the spiritual teachers were telling us, is you can do it. This isn't for another lifetime. Because I speak to people who say, well, this is great about finding peace, and I find like little bits of it, and I'm working on it, but I'm probably not going to get there in this lifetime. Maybe in the next lifetime I will, but I'm working on it. And it's kind of putting it off. The spiritual teachers were telling us, you can achieve it in this lifetime, but you have to do the work. It's like somebody who's trying to lose weight, and they're saying, well, you know, I tried, you know, I exercised for a few days, I've been trying, and I'm not seeing any results, so I guess this isn't for me. You have to do the work. And when you do the work, you may not see the results right away, but you will see the results. I guarantee you, you will. And one of the results of that is you find yourself just so much more peaceful. And so when you see that, it motivates you to want to go even further. Like someone who is working out physically and is starting to see results and says, hey, my muscles are getting bigger. I'm going to keep going. When you find that peacefulness, you want to go further. We want to be instruments of peace in this lifetime. We, as you know from Scripture, are told to love your God with all your heart and all your soul, but also all your mind. All your mind, the whole mind, not just half of it, not just that part that we're tilted. We've got to balance ourselves and use our whole mind. And I love the word whole because it reminds me of holy. It's the same word, same root. When you're whole and balanced, you are leading a holy life. You're leading a peaceful life. The Buddhists use the term called equanimity. Equanimity means being equal. That one side isn't controlling. We're trying to find some balance in our lives. When we get in a stressful situation, someone cuts us off in traffic. Are we a left-brain person or a right-brain person, or should we be more of a balanced person? So someone cuts you off in traffic, and the left-brain person is the ego thing that says, hey, you shouldn't have done that to me. How dare you? Where that person needs to say, okay, I am not at peace in this situation. How do I find balance? I need to be more right-brain. Okay, maybe this person is going through something in their life. Maybe they weren't paying attention. They made a mistake. It isn't about me. They weren't doing it personally to me. Equanimity, peacefulness. Be still and know that I am. That I am whole, holy. That's what I am. I'm not fearful, limited, anxious, worried. I am God. I am whole. I'm holy. When we're still, we get that. So that's the whole purpose of getting still. We've heard about the peace that surpasses all understanding, and maybe have wondered, what is that peace that surpasses all understanding? And maybe some of you have gotten glimpses of it in meditation or in seeing a beautiful sunset or a double rainbow or just that moment where you go, oh, I get it. Oh, wouldn't it be great if I could have this all the time? That would be wonderful. And I think the great spiritual teachers were telling us that we can. It's a struggle. Especially in our world today, it's a struggle, but we can do it, we can achieve it, we can do it by doing the work, by balancing and training our brain. So when one side of your brain tends to dominate and direct your thinking, I want you to remember that you are not one half, you are whole. And do what it takes for you to get back to that center. You know, when they talk about being centered, get back to that center between the brain. And for those of you who know about the chakras, you know that right there in the center of those two hemispheres is called the crown chakra. And for thousands and thousands of years, spiritual teachers, especially in India, who have taught about the chakras, have said the crown chakra is the place of highest enlightenment. It is the where we receive the light. Right there, right in the middle of those two halves. And I think that's just a perfect symbol. So I would like you to remember that as you go about your week. And I will try myself to be more conscious of it. In the school that I'm going to in New York, one of my teachers is a man named John Mundy, who is probably one of the most prominent A Course in Miracles teachers in the country. And he says, when you preach what's going on in your life. So I'm preaching to you what I need to remember for myself. So this week, I'm going to remember when I'm not at peace to get back to center. And I hope you will too. Thank you so much.